point of an interview with Francis Smith. We were talking about the town council and whether your husband ran again and got defeated or decided he had experienced enough of town politics.
No, I don't think he ran the first time. I think they just got him to be on it, and I think maybe that's the way they got most of them, you know. They didn't really start running until a little bit later on when the town got a little bigger and more organized.
I presume in a small town there's hardly going to be a very stiff political race anyhow,
yeah,
or something like that.
Well, I'm pretty sure he didn't run for it the first time. And he's the kind of person he wouldn't run for it again. He wouldn't run anyway because it was just that way.
Did he get paid handsomely for his work on the town council?
I don't think he got paid anything.
Apparently,
except this, he was walking across the street one day, and his foot got hung up in a manhole, and it hurt his foot pretty bad, and he had to go to the doctor, and he had to wear a cast on it for a long time, and the town paid for that. That's all that I can remember. But I remember the town paid for that.
Apparently, for a while, the town council members were also exempt from paying town taxes, which I suspect weren't very high anyhow.
I just don't remember what the taxes were.
Do you have any idea where the town council was meeting then?
Could have possibly met at the drugstore, because everything would meet at the drugstore. Well, let's see, where would they meet? I really don't know.
Do you think they ever met at your husband's service station?
No, I don't remember. They could have.
I've heard at times they also met at the barber shop.
Well, they probably did. Patterson and the barber shop.
There are only about half a dozen, so that would be fairly easy to do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And at that time, Leon Crawford was town clerk before he later became mayor. One of the issues the town council was dealing with in the period for which I read the minutes, 37 to 43, was apparently a fair amount of garbage and refuse and chicken parts actually around the grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that being a messy problem?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I don't remember what to do about it. But old Bill Greenlee was the garbage man. And I guess he was the one who proceeded, was supposed to take it up, dispose of it.
Do you remember being around when there were offensive odors and things like that at grocery stores?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did this go on for a long period of time, or just a brief while, or what?
I remember when the liquor store had a place up there next to Bob's filling station. I remember up there the odor being delicious. And they would put the garbage thing on the side of their building, and that would be right next to Bob's place, and the odor was terrific. And I remember him being disgusted with it, but I don't remember how the problem was solved unless old Bill Greenlee, carried it off.
Was that when your husband's station was there on College Avenue?
No, that was on Seneca Road. See, there was a Dixie store up there in one of Sloan's buildings. See, Sloan had owned property up there. I don't know how much. But anyway, the Dixie store was in one of Sloan's buildings, and it faced the road, the Seneca Road. And then
opposite the college.
Mm-hmm. And Bob's station was here, and that was there, and then they'd bring all the stuff out, garbage stuff, and put it on the side of the grocery store, which would be right next to Bob. And it was terrific.
Let me ask you one or two more questions about town politics, and we'll talk about groceries and shopping. In 1943, the voters in Calhoun changed the name from Calhoun to Clemson. How did people in general react to this change?
I think they all just took it as a matter of course.
So you think it was fairly widely supported?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. There seem to have been some fairly serious disagreements lurking in the background of all this. I mentioned that your husband was not on the town council after 42. In fact, the entire town council was replaced by one method or another, which is not spelled out in the minutes. And, feelings apparently ran fairly high on the issue.
Well, the people that put on the town council after that were people who were with the college mostly, and the people that were in Calhoun, you know, residents of Calhoun and that type of person, they weren't represented, and I think that was the trouble.
Do you think the college itself or college people were particularly interested in the name change?
Well, I think they were, because that gave them a better hold on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have been better to left it Calhoun, you know, for the sake of that it was that way. I mean, I guess it was named after John C. Calhoun, you reckon? Or was it? Or do you know?
I'm not sure if anybody knows.
You know, since the Calhouns, they bought land, bought all this land over here. And it, the land, one of the boundaries was the Seneca Road, is that right?
That's right.
And then all of this in between that. And I think that it was an advantage to the college for it all to be Paul Clemson. But I guess if some of the older people had been still living, then it wouldn't have happened. That they wouldn't have liked it anyway.
When you first moved here and were living either later on in the house where you are now or some other places that were within a short distance, was that considered being in Calhoun or in Clemson? Or?
It was considered being in Clemson. And I always thought when I lived in Mrs. Wirtz's house, which is right up there, right back at the Baptist Church, and it's on Sloan Street. And there's a condominium just side of it now, but it's right up there. Well, I always thought of that as Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wrote letters to my mother and people, I put it Clemson.
You probably used the Clemson College Post Office, I presume, which was nearby.
Yeah, it was over in the Y building. Seemed to me like it was.
Before they built the new post office building, which has now been replaced by still another one.
Mm-hmm. And that's one question that puzzles me. When did it get to be the town of Clemson? When did it get to be an inaugurated town?
The town of Calhoun was first incorporated in 1892, and that town then in 1943 voted to change its name to Clemson, so that in essence is when the change occurred.
Well then, this part up here was known as Clemson before that.
Well, apparently very informally, simply because it was adjacent to the college. There was never, prior to 43, any incorporated town called Clemson. It was simply...
So it was never incorporated until they brought in Calhoun.
Or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather interesting because the names were used quite loosely.
Mm-hmm.
And there were apparently some boundary changes of the town of Calhoun along the way, and I don't know when they occurred since the town council records don't exist.
Now, because Clemson used to be in Oconee County.
Mm-hmm.
But although this side of the road was Pickens. But, of course, the college is now in Pickens County.
Things have changed legally and otherwise.
And they say Pickens County is one of the richest counties in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess college has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I'm sure so. Let's go back to some of the facilities around. You talked about grocery shopping. When you first moved to this area, whether it was Calhoun, Clemson, or whatever, where were there places that you could go do your grocery shopping?
Right up here on where Judge Keller's is, right across from Judge Keller. Right across from Judge Keller was a grocery store.
That was the community store?
Well, community store was a little bit further down. This was Abbott's,
mm-hmm.
Abbott's grocery store. Then in that V-shaped thing, plot, there was a community store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we bought from Mr. Abbott. We call him Major Abbott. I don't know why, but we call him Major Abbott. We bought from him. And then after that, Dixie store opened up a store up there, as I said, across from Bob's place up there, sometime later.
Was it called at that time apparently just Dixie store?
Just Dixie store.
It was
later. It wasn't Winn-Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
Just Dixie store.
In earlier decades, the Bog store did a lot of selling to people in this area and over on the college premises.
Mm-hmm.
Was he still doing that with deliveries when you were living in this area?
I don't know about his deliveries, but I remember they sold cloth and thread and stuff like that, and we'd go over there for that, you know.
You couldn't buy that in downtown Clemson?
You could buy it at Judge Keller's, but probably they didn't have what you want.
And I gather that the box store probably had a wider array of those things
probably
also.
Did.
Did you buy your clothes in Clemson?
No. Bought them in Anson and Greenville.
Why didn't you buy them here?
There wasn't anything to buy. There's no clothes in Stonehenge.
Unless you were a man and wanted to buy men's clothes.
You could buy it at Judge Keller's or Hope Sloan. Hope Sloan had a men's ready-to-wear shop up there.
So there must have been disadvantages for women living in Clemson.
But I've heard people say that it didn't make any difference what they had in Clemson. People would go to Greenville to buy. I don't know about that.
Sort of a condescending attitude,
perhaps.
Well, how would you go to Greenville or Anderson? Did you and your husband have a car?
Oh, yeah, we had a car.
Do you remember when he first got a car?
Yeah, a car before we were married.
And what kind was it?
A Ford coupe. A gray Ford coupe.
How long did you keep that?
Oh, no. I don't know how long we kept it. We used that on our honeymoon. We were on a honeymoon in that. And later on, I don't know how soon after that, how long, but he still had his place on the College Avenue. He bought a Chevrolet four-door. I think you'd call them sedans then, four-door.
He kept that for a long while, didn't he?
Right, good while. And I think they were working on the brakes. And so I went up there and I got in it, and I think I told Joe Hill was helping him, working with him. And I told one of them, I said, I'm going to Seneca. I got to go over there and get some cloth. So I went over to Seneca and got my cloth and started back. One of those hills that it's not, well, those hills are still there, but it was the old road, you know. It's coming down, and it was raining, and I put on the brake, and one wheel didn't break, and the other did, and it flipped over, turned over into a field out there, just as square on its top as anything, and I crawled out. And there was this man there. And he says, lady, are you hurt? I said, no, I don't think so. And so he took and brought me on to Clemson. and I drove up at Bob's place. I told him where my husband was. And I didn't start to cry anything until I got there. And then I just boohooed and said, oh, I turned over. Oh, Lord. And so then they went over there and they turned it back up and drove it home.
I'll tell you something of a secret. Not too many people, I suspect, know. Eva Payne has told me of a story when her father was comparatively young, and he was driving a car, and it flipped totally over with him. So you were not alone by any means.
And the car was the car was practically new at that time, and so they told Miss Smith, and Jill Hughes says, but you know, Frances said, your mother-in-law doesn't think much of you. You know what the first thing she said? Did it hurt Bob's new car?
Well, that showed you where you stood, didn't it?
Oh, well, it didn't hurt me. It didn't hurt the car very badly. We drove it a long time after that because it was new at that time.
On the other hand, I understand or assume that you had fairly frequent contacts with your mother-in-law.
Well, now what do you mean by contact? She invited us over for Sunday dinner often, you know.
Just about every week.
Yeah, and because whenever any of the family from out of town came, we were invited over, and we always went there for Thanksgiving dinner, but went to Augusta for our Christmas dinner.
So you were fairly frequently associated back.
Oh, yes. We have a good relationship.
We were talking and got off on cars from grocery shopping and other things, and you said you would drive. Did you save most of your other shopping for Greenville or Anderson?
When you had to buy a pair of shoes or a dress or a hat, in those days you wore hats, you'd go to Greenville. Go to Greenville more. In those days, I went to Greenville more than did Anderson. Well, Anderson has grown some. It's better now than it used to be.
Was Seneca any good for quicker trips for shopping?
Yes, it was. Uh-huh.
So you did some things there?
Not as much, but not very much.
Well, obviously for you and even more for your students, you needed a substantial quantity of music. Where would you go for that?
Anderson. And I got down consignment from Rice Fall Music House. Oh, I bought music there for a long, long time and still do.
What newspapers were available in town when you first came here?
The Greenville News, the Greenville T-Mart, and the Anderson Daily Mail, and there was an Anderson morning paper and an Anderson evening paper. Now I don't remember the names, but anyway, Bob was quite a newspaper reader, and we took the Greenville News, the Greenville Piedmont, and the evening Anderson paper.
And were these all delivered to the house?
Yeah. They were delivered.
So there was very good newspaper service, even though there weren't any local newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect for local news, the town was small enough that you hardly needed to read a paper. You could just call up anybody and ask.
You bet. News got around fast. And anyway, there was a drugstore uptown, and just lots of people went up there every morning and got a Coke, you know, and sat around. And that's where you could gather up the news. And of course, some of the ladies, they had bridge clubs, and you didn't get a lot of news that way, but I was never a member of a bridge club.
And your music students were not particularly good, I suppose, for giving you the very latest of the town gossip.
No, I didn't ever gossip. We never talked like that with them.
You were too busy being a professional with
them. I kept it strictly a business thing.
I understand one of your husband's cousins, Mamie Crawford, worked at the drugstore.
That's right.
Tell me about her and her business there at the drugstore.
Well, I don't know too much about it. I know that she and Phil were very, very good friends, and she worked in the drugstore quite a long while. She was a very, very nice person, but I never was in her company very much, and didn't know her. But everybody thought a lot of her, and they all called her cousin Mame.
Apparently, in those days, all the cadets had to go to the drugstore to buy their textbooks.
Yeah.
And as you say, everybody in town went there for Cokes and everything else. Mm-hmm. It must have first been a tremendous social center.
Well, it was.
And mm-hmm. secondly, she apparently must have known just about everybody in town.
Mm-hmm. Well, she would know all the news, I know, because she, as I said, she and Seal were good friends, and Seal, she knew a lot of the town news.
When you first arrived, did you or the lady you lived with have a telephone?
Yeah.
And did your in-laws have a phone over in Calhoun?
I think so.
If you wanted to call somebody else, would you dial it?
No, you picked it up. No, I used to call the film station all the time. The operator would answer, and you'd give the number, and they'd ring it. That's how it worked.
Well, the joke sort of is, in a lot of small towns, you would ask for the number, and the operator would say, well, she's not home. She's gone to visit somebody. Did that happen here?
Well, I've heard Elsa talk about the people who ran the telephone exchange, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How she would know all of this, you know, and would answer back those kind of things. But I never had that experience. She didn't know me.
Do you know who had the telephone exchange?
I knew, but I can't remember the name.
Incidentally, if either you or any of your friends have old telephone books, it would be very helpful to know about the earlier history of the town.
I don't have
none of them anywhere before about 1953. We were talking before about utilities, and I didn't get a chance to ask. When you moved on North Clemson, that was about 1936, I believe you said.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Was the street paved?
No, it was dirt road.
Were there any paved streets in town?
I don't even think Main Street was paved.
Do you have any idea when it became paved?
No, I don't. Well, you see, Clinkscale had that thing up, that barn or whatnot, and he had all these mules and wagons that started up and down the street. No, it was dirt. Now, I don't remember when it got paved, but whenever it was, we were very happy.
Do you remember how late Clinkscale's had the livery stable there on College Avenue?
No, I don't.
And do you have any idea when paved streets first were available in Calhoun?
No, I don't.
Or any way to peg that memory?
No, I don't. I really don't.
Who are some of your favorite people in Calhoun or in Clemson?
Well, Mamie Carey was a very, very good friend of mine, and she was the wife of Carey, that was Bob's first cousin, and they lived, they owned a home up here on Wigginson Street, the next street up. They built a home there, and then they had some sickness in the family or something. They had to give it up, and they moved to a house that belonged to the cottage, which wasn't as nice, but was okay. And until later on in their life, they built a home on 93 going towards, out towards Central on the road out there in that settlement, out that way. And they were very good friends of ours, and they just were so good to us. They gave us lots of vegetables. You see, he worked for the college in horticultural division, you see. And they gave us just lots of snap beans and turnip greens and stuff like that. And that was nice. It helped a lot.
But this also sounds, with a small town atmosphere, that it's hard to go very far without running into somebody else you or your spouse is related to.
Yes.
And a lot of small town sharing too. Any other particular favorite people in town?
Back at that time, because Ethel was my most favorite person. And
you said, I believe, that her husband was what, treasurer at the college?
You never did know Jack Elmo, I don't get it.
No, that was before my time.
Well, yeah. Well, he was working the treasury department.
He must have had a very good position.
Well, he did. But he fooled around and lost it. You know, he drank a lot.
I understand he also had a very impressive automobile.
Well, he had a Ford. Well, because he and Ethel were divorced, you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he married this lady who was ran a liquor store, as I understand it. And he drove a big car then.
Mm-hmm.
He drove a Cadillac then.
So in later life, when he could afford it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I don't suspect you necessarily know anything about his buying habits, but let me just ask you what you would have known about the town in general. Liquor certainly could not be sold in Clemson because it was right around the college.
Uh-huh.
But suppose somebody in town wanted liquor. Do you have any idea where they might have gone to get it?
I think they went to Pendleton.
Do you think they'd have been able to buy any here, sort of under the table?
Not that I know of course it could have, but I didn't know of it. I wasn't associated with it in any way, so.
What about Seneca?
You probably could in Seneca.
I've heard a story, and I don't know exactly when this was, that your mother-in-law used to go over to Seneca to shop and do other things, and she would always go about it to visit one of her nephews who ran a liquor store.
Did Miss Smith have a liquor, somebody, I don't know of anybody that did.
She wouldn't go inside the liquor store. She would rap on the window and have him come outside. She didn't mind talking to him, but she refused to go in the liquor store.
Well, who could that have been? I didn't know about that. Now, I took her to Seneca numbers and numbers of times for years to buy her groceries. And, I don't remember anything like that.
That must have been in earlier years. Let me ask you quickly, we've got a little bit more tape left on this side and then we'll stop. What all do you remember about her boarding house operation?
Now that I don't remember very much.
Were the groceries from Seneca for the boarding house?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she'd just buy, the back end of the car would just be filled with groceries, you know.
Huge quantities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most of the people were railroad men. And some of them would spend the night, and some of them would come in just for midday meal. As I understand it.
Speaking of the railroad, I assume since you had a car that you didn't have very much occasion to take the train.
I never got on the train at Calhoun.
Did you ever know who the station agents were?
No.
When did Clemson first get bus service? I know for a while what, Greyhound came through here?
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall when that first occurred?
Well, now, when I was teaching over at Westminster, there was a Wellman bus line that I took from somewhere to get to Anderson to catch a bus to go to Augusta, or catch a Greyhound in Anderson. But this little short Wellman bus line is what I would take to get to Anderson on.
Did that stop in Clemson or Calhoun?
The Wellman thing, yeah.
Yes.
It stopped in places up there at Sloan's place where he had his club. clothing store and whatnot up there. That's where you got off and on.
And I don't guess there's bus service in Clemson anymore, is there?
No.
It's rather amazing with, for example, Clinkscales, you used to get the equivalent of taxi service, and you used to go pick up a bus, and those things don't seem to exist anymore.
No. Well, I don't know. I guess a bus must run along 123, don't you think? They used to stop at where that Exxon station is, across the road on the right side going towards Seneca. Long time ago, they used to stop over there, the buses did. Because I remember my sisters coming to visit me, and I didn't know they stopped over there, and I went all over every place trying to find them, and finally I found them over there.
I remember, I guess, in 1967, taking a bus into Clemson, but that was perhaps the only, certainly the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Any other particular memories of Clemson you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. And I know when I first came here I didn't like it, but now I think it's the only place in the world to live.
Well, you've become a dedicated citizen.
Yeah, and some people call this the golden corner of South Carolina, and I think it is the golden corner of South Carolina.
Well, I'm sure that certainly endears you to the people of Clemson.
Mm-hmm. Well,